Welcome to hour number two on a Monday with hashtag Daily K's host, Peter Bibb. Tired of just scratching the surface of career? Want to get deep in the weeds?
For the last time today, me and Pete will unpack everything about Korea through its history, its people, its culture, and its media on
Now and Then with David Tizard. That is right, for the final time ever, I never want to say ever or never, but in this iteration with David Tizard in the studio, this is it, and we've got so many messages to read out. David, first up, how are you doing? You're looking very smart today.
Absolutely. I always say this, but I'm happy, I'm healthy, life is good, man. Great.
I hope that you can say that for many years to come, because that's truly what's important, isn't it? Being healthy and happy, and those two things I think go hand in hand as well. You're looking fabulous.
It's hard to say on a Monday sometimes, but no, I feel it. Do you know what I mean? I feel like 봄 미쳤다. Life is good.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
That, how you doing?
I would say 봄은 나쁘지 않아. My form is not bad. I think that's come from footy as well, hasn't that? Yeah. Like talking about a player's form, because I always used to think, how do you say a player's form is good in football, right? In Korean. And they'd also always talk about like condition 좋다. You know, like your condition is
that's
good.
That's a bit physical as well, though, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah, no, it might be form as well.
It links a bit to that. But now they're just using that word form in Korean. I like that. I like that kind of English term.
Let me ask you a very quick question about football. This is very personal. How do you say man on in Korean?
Oh.
Because I was trying to say, dear, belly, belly. How do you say man on? Like, somebody's coming up to you. I couldn't.
Either onda or kanda.
Onda, kanda.
Onda, but I think onda is like the literal thing which means someone's coming. But I think more people say kanda. Like, but I don't hear that often when I'm playing footy with Koreans. Do they just not shout man on as much as Brits?
Well, that's what I was trying to get, because all I play only with Koreans now, and I was trying to work out man on, and I asked someone and he just told me, no, you just say pali, like quick.
I don't think there's the same psyche in English football. You're always saying that, right?
Yeah.
To someone behind you who's coming. Man on. Let us know in other languages, is there man on? Leanne is here saying, we'll miss you, Dr. David. It's been such a pleasure listening to your segment. Steve from San Francisco saying, just want to thank you for giving us the fresh, insightful weekly insights into Korean history. We'll be missing you and your deep knowledge as well. Aaron has got on board with a long one saying, dear Mr. Tizard, I hope this letter finds you well. Bletch. Hey, David, I could do the formal and stuffy, but somehow I think you prefer the informal, right? I didn't get to know you nearly as well as I would have liked, but I did enjoy learning more about the history of Korea every Monday, as well as the banter. Your students are lucky to have a professor as cool as you are. I hope we're at least keeping you for the roughly 15 minutes on GMS, at least, no matter what your future holds. I hope it brings you and yours great fortune and happiness. Aaron.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Aaron. Yeah. Yes. Love the banter, especially bantering with people like Pete here and Lena. I will still be on Lena's show. Yes.
You can see him for 15 minutes. Are you going to extend that to a Monday as well? Not for the time being.
I might just take Monday off. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I might just decide, because I'm busy, and I also I need to keep reading. I need to keep up with my work. Do you know what I mean? I have a duty to be informed and knowledgeable, and you know, things like things like this,
oh my goodness,
they don't read themselves, and this is what I have to do all the time.
That's crazy. You always got a book in hand, haven't you?
Yeah.
Today's final topic, a really intriguing one. What are we going to be talking about today, David?
We're going to be talking about this kind of theory that I've been creating in my academic world.
Ooh.
Because, you know, outside of broadcasting and popular media, I work as an academic, and this is one of my latest works, and it's called K Invisible. I came up with the title before the theory, actually.
Okay.
I came up with K Invisible. I was like, that's nice.
Kinvisible.
Yeah. What can I do with K Invisible? And what this looks at, what we're going to look at today, is the difference between Korean history and Korean dramas. So how history and dramas are interacting with each other.
Oh, that's very interesting.
I won't bore you too much with theory, but let's just start with this little bit of theory, because
there's
something here that I find fascinating. We'll show you the first picture.
Okay.
Now, if you look at this perspective matters. You see that one? Imagine that object, that yellow star, is Korea.
Okay.
And viewpoint A is somebody from Western Europe, and viewpoint B is someone from Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
They both come from their various home countries and things like this, and they both look at Korea, but they come up with completely different perspectives.
Oh.
Somebody might think, yeah, Korea is amazing. It's highly developed. It's really technologically advanced. Mm-hmm. It's safe. And the other person might look at Korea and go, wow, this place is pretty backwards in terms of its gender or its mental health. And so they're both looking at Korea, but because of their vantage points, they end up seeing a different Korea. One is red and one is blue.
That diagram's brilliant in showing that, right?
Yeah.
You've both got the same object but different backgrounds, which makes it completely different how you're like digesting that information. Yeah.
And I just want to show you one more thing. You see that painting on the right?
Yes.
That's over 500 years old. That's 1533. Look at the quality of that.
Wow.
But what you can probably just make out is at the front, there's something there, isn't there?
I went to the National Gallery, and this was the only thing that stood out in my mind, because they made us look at it from like the left-hand side.
Oh, wow, Pete.
And that's where you can see that it's a skull,
yeah,
right?
That's
and
right.
It blew my mind. All the other paintings were boring. I'm sorry, but that was amazing.
That 500 years ago, somebody put like a magic eye trick. There's a skull there in the front. But if the point is, if you look at it normally, you can't see it.
Mm.
To see the skull, you have to not look at it, or you have to look at it from a certain perspective.
Wow.
And then it becomes clear to you. So what it's really important as we go through this, perspective matters.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the difference between Korean history and the dramas. A lot of our listeners love a good saguk, a historical drama, or just a regular drama that has some history in it. And I don't know how many of you tell us, how many of you really hope that it's all accurate? How many of you don't give a monkeys, you know, about that as well? It might be interesting.
Do you remember
that
Joseon Exorcist one with Darcy Parquette and that got cancelled after just like one episode because it wasn't accurate, even though it was a fantasy drama about exorcists? This is really interesting. Now, let's give you two fantasies about Korea. Let's go with fantasies. Here's two words for you. One is Haeljoseon, and the next one is Gukbong, heaven.
Okay.
So these two fantasies you get about Korea, one is Haeljoseon. It's this place of suffering. It's this place of mental health, psychological trauma. Everybody's depressed. Nobody's sleeping. Everyone's unhappy. Nobody's dating. There's no love. You can see that narrative quite often in the mainstream media, especially international media.
Yeah, and I think more Koreans are more aware of this, the younger generation as well. Like, to be honest, we don't talk about it as much on Arirang, you know, as maybe the other side of things where you can see for the next part is like idols and all their colourful hair.
Yeah.
But we do mention it from time to time. And I think sometimes our listeners get confused. They're like, what? I thought Korea was, you know, wonderful and lovely. But obviously, in anyone's country, there are good and bad things. And there are a lot of people who really struggle with life here. And we do talk about the suicide rates and stuff like that. That's all part of that Haeljoseon, right?
It is part of it. But what I'm trying to make here is that there are these two fantasies. And one is that Korea is this sort of negative dystopia with all these problems. And on the other side, you have this narrative where Korea is this, you know, you walk down the street and there's Motin Oppadus, there's all these handsome idols everywhere, and beauty and skincare and everything's beautiful. Those two narratives are absolutely right there.
The Gukbong heaven, the Gukbong, like YouTubers, there are Gukbong foreigners as well. There are people who are just said to be singing only the praises, right?
They do the Gukbong coin. That's what it's called in Korean. It's when you just say nice things about Korea and you get all of that. Look at this next thing about the dramas. This is from a quite popular influencer. Don't believe everything you say in K-dramas. All the terrible things in them are actually true, but most of the good stuff in them is made up.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that's so depressing. I'm definitely going to say, yeah, a lot of the terrible things in them are true. Like the one I remember is Sky Castle and the competition for education and that. Yeah. Surely all the good things can't just be made. Surely some of those are true in some people's lives.
But that's the point. So let's do this RM thing. RM was interviewed by a Spanish newspaper and they said, you know, Korean people are all depressed and unhappy. You guys need to calm down, don't you? And RM from BTS, he looked at them and he said, no, you guys just don't get it. You were going around the world calling colonizing people. And so we had this bad start. We had to start much later. And now we're working hard to catch up. We're catching up with the rest of the world and we're doing this.
Yeah.
And you tell us we're doing something wrong.
Mm.
And he's saying, wherever there's light, there's going to be a shadow. You need to accept that we're moving fast. Don't try to hold us back.
Welcome to Arirang Radio.
If you are in Jeju,
88.7 in Jeju City,
88.1 in Seogwipo City,
101.9 in the Daejeong area.
Arirang Radio.
And we're back for part two of our final edition of Now and Then with David Tizard in the studio. So many of you on board today. I think the preview of David leaving last week has done a trick because we don't usually get this many messages. Blazing Saddles saying, I don't think there's much difference in human behaviour amongst countries. However, there's a huge perception difference from far away countries to the likes of maybe South Korea, let alone North Korea and China. That's an interesting comparison as well out in this region.
Absolutely is. I'm going to speak to somebody about life in North Korea once I leave here. Raul says it's all about perspectives and extremes are never good. You're right on board, Raul. You're getting it. Aaron is saying that a politician over there in the States saying that we need to go back to the good old days. And what, the good old days of segregation and racism. And I don't know when the good old days were. And Sherry says we sometimes use extremes to summarize a group of people. That's exactly right. And that's why something called the contact hypothesis is really important, which means the more you interact with a group of people, whether they're religious groups, minority groups, the more you develop positive engagement with them. It's about interaction.
You just in the end realize, oh, they're just people just like me with most groups out there, right?
Yeah,
there might
absolutely
be some rare exceptions, but I believe that as well. And Rao, yeah, also, you often come with this point of view. Your kind of image of Korea is all about the tech, saying it's on point, Seoul, Busan, Daegu, Jeju, great cities, but maybe the society is too competitive and mental health is an issue. That's why I don't think I could ever live there, in my opinion. It's not for everyone, for sure.
I'll try to address that as we get through this, because I think there's something to be said about what it is actually like to live here, because here's some living proof. You know, like, not if you looked outside this window and saw the production teams and things like that, you know, people are just, they're just normal people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we're going to move on to,
The Glory.
The Glory. I didn't watch this. I made it clear, bullying, I just can't hack, but so many people got so many different things from this drama. Right?
A lot of people watch The Glory, and what I want to make this point about The Glory is that The Glory represented both fantasies of Korea. It showed you this Haejoseon, these characters that were engaged in drugs and psychological abuse and physical abuse, and they were engaged in promiscuous carnal activities. That's a weird way of saying they had sex. And on the other side, you had this kind of gukbong where they were beautiful, they were pure, they had no ill intentions, they would sort of live together but not have any physical interactions other than maybe touching hands. And so you had this very dark and this very pure image of Korea coming together in The Glory. And of course, it was the heaven version that won.
Of course, it must be, yeah. And you know, that message earlier that maybe all the bad is true and all the good is not true. Yeah, I think the truth is somewhere in the middle, isn't it? Surely.
Well, let's get there, because otherwise I worry that we might not get through these points. If we go to the next slide, we talked about the good old days just a minute. This person, it was Aaron, I believe, saying going back to the good old days. Now, in the 1990s, when Hallyu was just coming out, Korea had a lot more racial discrimination back in the 1990s because people didn't travel abroad. They didn't have interaction with foreign people as much.
Yeah, there were hardly any here.
Hardly any people. Gender discrimination was far more prevalent in the 1990s. You know, if you were a woman getting on a subway or a bus or in the office, gender discrimination was pretty harsh. Gapjil, so the abuse of power in hierarchical relationships, was pretty strong.
Yeah, we still talk about that today, but it was way worse back then.
What I'm trying to get is in the 1990s, the reality was closer to, it wasn't hell, let's be clear, but it was pretty dark. But at the same time, the dramas during that period were all of these Guess the drama, Pete. Look at the picture. What drama is that?
Oh, that's got Chijiu in it. Isn't that the one?
Winter Sonata.
Yeah, I think she goes blind in that and maybe dies. Something like a lot of the dramas would end on that sad note, but there'd be really like almost a fantasy couple throughout it, right?
It's Winter Sonata, yes. And so the dramas during this time were Cinderella dramas. They were beautiful. They projected this kind of escapism from the horrors of the world. So the point here is you get is as the reality was pretty bad, the dramas projected the opposite. So you had this mismatch between these two things, right?
Maybe like as an escape for people?
Absolutely. It was an escapism and it was this idea of fantasy. It was this release from life. But what it is was that the dramas didn't represent reality.
Were they claiming to, I wonder? That's hard to...
It's hard to point. But now let's go forward. And if we look at dramas today, Squid Game, Hellbound, We Are All Dead, The Glory, Sweet Home,
Pretty Dark,
DP. A lot of these dramas, so if we show the people the next slide, right? Lots of pictures to hide my face today. It's wonderful. If we show the listeners the next slide, as the dramas are getting much darker, aren't they?
Yeah,
we never had dramas like this in the 90s.
Sure.
Now, the reality, it's not heaven, let's be clear.
Of course.
But gender discrimination is getting much better. Women have much better positions in society.
Of course.
The LGBT community, it's not brilliant for them.
Making progress.
But it's getting better. They're making progress. Society is less violent, isn't it, in general here?
Sure.
So what you're getting is, as society is getting better, the dramas themselves are getting darker.
Wow. I wonder what the link is there. Is it that, you know, people feel more comfortable to do more in this society that's more kind of safe and free and open? Or is it people maybe always, you know, we say we want what we don't have. Are we craving that side of things?
That's a really good question, Pete. So the philosopher Jacques Lacan, wasn't a philosopher, he was a psychoanalyst. The French psychoanalyst Jacques Lacan says that we access reality through fantasy. That to get to reality, you have to go through fantasy. So for example, if you want to understand real human emotions about revenge and love, you have to go through Hamlet to understand it. You have to go through Romeo and Juliet. You have to go through BTS, right? You have to go through these unreal depictions, through these fantasies to get to the reality.
Wow, so they're not useless. You know, one of my friends, he's always going on at us for watching movies or dramas. He's like, they're not real. What's the point? You know, he only watches documentaries. Like, he's a really kind of straight as an arrow kind of guy. And he doesn't understand why people watch those kind of things. But there is, like you say, there is something that you get that is very real from something that is definitely fake, right?
Well, next time I hope you tell him, Jacques Lacan said, you access reality through fantasy. You have to go through fantasy to get to reality. Nevertheless, what we're noticing here in South Korea is as the society is getting better, the dramas are getting darker.
Yeah.
And for people outside the country, for people that don't experience this kind of day-to-day Korean life, they're going to look at it and go, oh, wow, man, Korea's messed up.
Yeah.
But what you need to understand is those dramas don't actually point to a messed up society. They point to actually an improving society.
I wonder how like common knowledge that is for other places and people, right? We know this thanks to you and the theories there that you presented. But yeah, just your regular Joe is not going to think that deeply, right? They're going to be thinking, oh no, what's going on there? They might be worried.
People will look at The Glory and they'll say, oh my God, this is a really serious issue.
Yeah.
My kids go to school in Korea. Your kids go to school. And I spend all my time in universities and I don't see all of this bleak. I'm not downplaying it. I'm not saying it doesn't go on. But what I'm trying to suggest is that contrary to how many people might think, these very dark dramas point to a good society rather than a bad society.
Interesting.
Have we got time to make one more point before a song?
Of course.
And I'll try to make it with this next slide. Look at this.
Okay.
Do you get critical dramas in North Korea?
I'm assuming not. I haven't seen many, but I'm assuming zero.
No, you don't. North Korea has dramas. It has media. It has content. But most of it is I don't want to say propaganda because all countries have propaganda, but it's idealized, you know. It's
more
trying
the kukbong
heaven. It's more the heaven. It's trying to glorify the state and all of these things. So what I want people to understand from this is when you see dark content, it often points to a bright society.
Wow.
And that's very counterintuitive.
Sure.
But in dark societies, you only see good content.
That really hits home, you know, in those dictatorial regimes. It's going to be very hard, you know, that makes sense. I think a lot of us have learned enough history that we can understand that. You're not going to see anything critical or super dark. Interesting stuff.
So after the break, let's find out what the reality is. So we've got these fantasies. Yep. We'll do the reality.
What is the truth?
Now, all about Korea.
Arirang Radio.
We're back for part three of our final Now and Then with David, looking at K Invisible and getting to the meat and bones, I suppose. A few more messages, though. Tigrish saying, perhaps the dramas that project heaven are the desire and the ones that depict hell are a warning. That's an interesting way to think about them.
Absolutely. They could be projecting advice that we need to follow. Leon saying we always need to have balance, not just focusing on one side. Balance these days, Leon, is a very difficult thing to find. Good luck with it. Hopefully you get some here from Mr. Bint.
Siska's saying, oh, I didn't know about the gender discrimination these days, just in the past in Korea. I think it's the same everywhere, right? Maybe things have improved, but I don't know if anywhere's perfect.
Oh, nowhere is perfect and nowhere will be perfect. But as we've discussed on this show, 120 years ago, Korean women were confined to anbangs and sarangbangs. They were like covered head to toe. They've made pretty good progress considering, you know, look at it these days with New Jeans, Le Sserafim, 50-50. Girl group's crushing it.
Absolutely. Showing a completely different side, right?
Raul saying it's the same where he is, that, you know, it does seem pretty bad, but life is full of goodness and cheerfulness and things like that. Nian getting it by saying this is an interesting correlation. We access reality through fantasy. Well done, Nian. Keep telling that to Pete so he can tell his friends.
I won't forget. Yeah, I need to tell my friend that. I'll sound really smart. I'll WhatsApp him after the show. And so towards the meat and bones of things, David.
Towards the meat and bones of things. Well, let's just give a couple of more examples. I hope I can get through this in time. You remember the drama, The DP?
I love this drama.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that came out in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed some of the horrors of the military service that people go through. It's very good. But it only came out once the military had improved its conditions for the people.
Yeah, I guess it didn't feel so close to the bone, maybe, then.
Well, what it needed is, if it was still that kind of hell reality, they wouldn't have been able to show it. So DP came out once the recruits were able to use smartphones, once their minimum wage had increased, once they had more time off at weekends. The point was, when DP came out, it did reflect some elements of truth in Korean society, but some elements of truth from the past.
Yeah.
And so it's only once society's improved that it can look at the darker sides. And so people might look at the DP and go, oh, wow, it's like that. The more correct view would have been, it was like that, or some parts are like that.
Yeah, you're right with pop culture. I was doing a review for the film The Queen, which was about Princess Diana's death and the Queen's reaction. But it came out like 10 years after that happened. Like once Britain had got through all the controversy maybe surrounding that, when you're ready to like accept that, I suppose.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we have to wonder, why do these negative portrayals of Korea, why are they so popular? Because if you look at The Guardian, The Wall Street Journal, New York Times, they'll have these very dark and negative depictions of Korea.
Yeah.
There is this idea of Orientalist comfort, that negative depictions of Korea make the West feel better about itself.
Oh.
Yes, they might have good education, they might have really cheap healthcare, their streets might be relatively clean and safe and very few drugs, but it's because they're all unhappy. Or it's because they're all sad.
There's got to be a big but.
There's got to be a but, and so we don't look at Korea as an example, or look at Korea as something to follow, or see Korea as better than the West. There's always that kind of, we've got to focus on the dark side so we don't let them run away with things.
That's such an interesting theory. And it makes a bit of sense. Like, you always try and comfort yourself when someone else is doing better. Like, there's got to be something bad in that guy's life.
No, absolutely. And so we look for that. And there's another aspect of this, which is called the capital of anxiety.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you want to write something or post something up on social media, if you do something negative, oh my God, look at this. This is unbelievable. What has just happened?
Mm-hmm.
That will get all the interaction and clicks. People are moved on social media by these terrible stories of death and suicide and all of this. And that will generate so much attention and traction and advertising and sponsorship in the online world. And so I did come up with this, that sad Koreans, dead Koreans and single Koreans, there's nothing more valuable than them in the mainstream media, whether it's in dramas or, you know, reality.
Yeah, we know that, you know, the bad news creates a lot of headlines, but I never linked that with career so much. But yeah, the suicides and things like that, they get a lot of traction and responses from people as well.
Absolutely. So we'll ask the PD to go to photo number 14,
14.
Please. 14. Okay. And so if career is not heaven and career is not hell, then what is the truth about career? Well, one of the things I came up with was this Malm spacing. We might have spoken about it before. Malm spacing is in Korea. I created that term, by the way.
Yeah.
So when you go to a cafe and you just leave your laptop on the table.
Okay.
And your books.
Yeah.
And your phone.
Yeah.
Thousands of dollars. And then you just walk out and go to the toilet.
Sure. You might come back like 30 minutes later if you wanted to.
You can do that in Korea.
Sure.
Nobody's going to take it. That is a beautiful thing about Korea, but it never really kind of gets mentioned, or it never really gets known. And so I think it might be, maybe I didn't give the PD the correct photo here, but what I want to make the point is here is that the best thing about Korea, or the reality of Korea, is actually invisible. The real truth about Korea is when in Seoul every morning, like 8 million people in Greater Seoul area take the subway, go to work, they go to their offices, even when it's raining, they go home, and nothing happens. This is the most important point, Pete.
Yeah.
The miracle is the mundane life where nothing happens. And in Seoul, for the most part, and South Korea, nothing happens.
No big, like, murders or shootings or anything like that.
Exactly. The subways work, the healthcare works, the infrastructure works. The people are, you don't get your stuff stolen. You don't get abused or assaulted on the streets.
Yeah.
Everybody goes to work and they get back, and women can walk the streets pretty late at night. Nothing happens.
Yeah, people go out for a drink. There aren't too many fights or anything like that. Yeah.
That's the reality, right? That's the reality. But that never goes on the dramas. Why? Because it's not heaven or it's not hell.
Yeah. And I guess, I'm not going to watch a drama where nothing happens. You know, why am I going to watch that?
Famously, Samuel Beckett did Waiting for Godot.
Uh-huh.
Nothing happens.
Oh,
they're
really?
Just waiting for Godot.
Okay.
And Godot never comes. It's a very existentialist play. But do you see the point I'm making here about K invisible? Is that we experience this, and the people around us, we all experience this Korean life, but it's very different from the dramas. And it's invisible, and there are not words to describe it yet. I had to come up with Malm spacing and all this because we don't recognize the beauty, which is South Korea, where nothing happens, and that's the beauty.
Yeah, and I guess lots of Koreans take it for granted because they've always lived in that kind of environment. I also, having lived here for a long time, I start to take it for granted. Then I go back home to the UK and I feel threatened, or I see a mugging or something, or a bus stop is broken, the glass.
You pull your kids a little bit closer to you.
And you're like, that's why I live in Korea. And, you know, that is a huge part of life, feeling, you know, safe and, like you said, predictable, right? If you don't have that, it's maybe hard to thrive. Maybe that is what has caused the miracle of Korea, you know, that base.
The miracle of Korea is the mundane, boring thing where nothing happens. There'll never be a drama about it. And so, you know, you need to feel it, you need to see it, and that's K-Invisible. There's the reality of Korea.
Yeah, Hartley saying, yeah, the leaving of phones was the most mind-blowing experience of coming to Asia recently, more than maybe seeing Gyeongbokgung Palace or anything like that, right? So many messages for you, David. Leon says, I wonder, are there any translated books you could recommend on an insight of Korean culture and history? You're still working on your book, David. I'm sure that will be amazing.
Thank you very much. A couple of really good books on Korea. One is Theodore Jun Yu. It's called The Korea's Birth of a Divided Nation, Theodore Jun Yu. That's recent. That's very good. There's another book called The New Koreans. Mm-hmm. That's by Michael Breen. Highly recommend those two to give you a really beautiful overview of Korea and what's happening. They're both incredibly well written. They're not boring. They tell beautiful stories. And of course, if you ever need recommendations for those, I'm sure you can find me. You can email me and I'll happily share lots of resources with you.
You can keep in touch with David on social media, right? Just search out David Tizard. We've got so many farewell messages from Jennifer Wood, Stacey Wiley, Marilyn Wells, Siska, many, many more. I will hand these to David because we don't have time to do them. Because David, I wanted to give you an opportunity to say goodbye to our listeners. You're still on Arirang Radio, as you all know, on Good Morning Seoul, 15 minutes a day. But it's been unbelievable having you on here, David. We've talked about topics that we would have never broached and maybe never can broach again with as much accuracy. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and a farewell message for our listeners.
I think this show is amazing because not only of Pete here, who does such a fantastic job of just being so up all the time, but the team behind these windows that you might not be able to see, and you might not see them much, they not only do they work so hard, they're so kind. They're so friendly and generous. It's nice to come here. And then finally, like this community that you have, all of these people that talk to each other and share positivity, different parts of the world, different time zones, it's an absolutely fabulous thing that's going on here. It's been wonderful for me to be a part of it. Thank you for opening up your arms and your minds and your mouths for me to welcome me into it. I'm sure you will keep doing amazing things with each other, and I wish you all the best going forward.
Thank you so
much. I will be
much.
Supporting you.
Thank you, David. We wish you the best as well. Thank you so much for your work on the show. Have a wonderful week, a wonderful year, a wonderful life, David.
I'm not dying.
No, of course not. We'll see him around. I'll be watching on Good Morning Seoul as well. Farewell. Adios. You can listen to Monday's segment Now and Then with David Tizard every Monday from 10 a.m. KST on #DailyK.